Matthew chapter 27. We're in lesson 93 of the dispensational view of the book of Matthew. And the reason why we're going through Matthew, it's a very, very important book for the kingdom. And if you know your Bible and you know who you are, you're not in the kingdom that God is setting up on this earth. Now, I know it may be strange to somebody's ears because you see billboards and you see colleges and stuff, and the fact that kingdom first, everybody wants to build a kingdom. They forget about the body of Christ. They forget about what God is doing through Apostle Paul. And before we, I told you to turn to Matthew, go to Ephesians chapter 2 for a second. Ephesians chapter 2. And it's good to be a reminder in some things, because sometimes we don't renew our mind. And sometimes we're like, oh, here we go again. We're, you know, he's going to talk about times past, but now and ages come. But isn't that a key to understanding some things? I mean, before you really understood that, didn't you just believe that all the books was to you? Now, all of it's for you, isn't it? And sometimes you might as well play Russian roulette with the Bible, and you've seen people just, you know, go through the pages and point whatever it says, and they would do it. God told them to do this. You know, that you may think it's foolishness, but people do that.
Yeah, they do.
And in Ephesians chapter 2, this is what God did, by the way. And we're just supposed to acknowledge what God is doing. Amen?
Amen.
God, when God spoke it, he meant it. And it doesn't matter if you agree with it or I agree with it. God said it. That settles it. But in chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, it says in verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." Now, God in times past made a distinction. Did he not?
Right.
And what does it say that distinction is?
Circumcision and uncircumcision.
What is it?
Circumcision and uncircumcision.
So you had the uncircumcision and you had the circumcision. Who is the circumcision?
Israel. Jews.
How do you know that?
Because Bible God said so.
Where did that start at?
Started back in
Abraham.
With Abraham.
I told you could do this. Abraham, right? Through Abraham. But before Abraham, was there any circumcision or uncircumcision?
No.
Before Abraham, was they saved people?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes. So God chose Abraham out of all the nations. Why did he do that?
Because he had faith.
He had faith. Because the world was corrupted. And I'm looking at some things about that. And before the... God created the heaven, and he created the earth. That's Genesis 1:1. From Genesis 1:2, the focus is on the earth, guys. That's where the focus is. And it does not change till you get over here to Acts chapter 9.
Right.
So when God made the distinction between heaven and earth, something happened and it got corrupted. When God put Adam on this earth, he told them to have dominion over the earth, didn't he?
Right.
Subdue it and multiply. So God gave Adam and Eve a commission to replenish the earth.
Right.
So in other words, Adam was a king. So Satan comes down, knowing this, Satan comes down and corrupts Adam, right? Well, he deceives Eve. My mother always used to correct me. It's a man's fault, she always say, you know. But Adam had a choice, didn't he?
Yeah.
He chose to go with his wife Eve. So all the earth was corrupted until Adam. Excuse me, Abraham came along, and that's Genesis chapter 12, isn't it?
Right.
When here's what I'm looking at. Adam gets kicked out of the garden. But that didn't stop God's plan. Okay? Sin entered the earth. Right? Sin entered in. So Adam multiplies. And where was Adam at? Where was the Garden of Eden?
East of Eden.
East of Eden. So I'm looking at an east of Eden over here is where the garden was at. So when he gets kicked out of the garden, what is east of Eden according to your Bible?
Babylon.
So in the man's eyes, they go east of Eden thinking that's what God said to do. I believe the Bible teaches from Genesis chapter 10, when after Noah's Ark flooded, that they went in their own ways. And it's 150 years from the time they got off the ark to the time of the Tower of Babel. Could you not, within 150 years, gather everybody back together and have one language and one skin colors? I believe you can. So God chose Abraham. He picks Abraham out of all the nations, and he gave them a promise about a kingdom over here. Okay? This is their salvation. And when Abraham believed God, that is what we call the dispensation of promise. Now, what happens after they get circumcised and uncircumcised? Moses comes along, right? God through Moses, what did God through Moses do? Gives the...
Deliver the children of Israel.
At this point right here, he is known as the lawgiver. And whether you realize it or not, Moses, people follow Moses today and not even realize what they're doing. They put themselves under law. So Moses comes along. This is the circumcision and uncircumcision. So it says, and what? Wherefore ye been in, what was that next word?
Times past.
So this is a time period known as time past. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, we can all agree about Genesis through Malachi. As far as being the Old Testament. Right? We can agree that it's times past. Those are books over there in times past. Paul says whatsoever was written aforetime was written for our learning. So we can learn from that. But Moses comes along. Who's after Moses, the big great guy after Moses?
Joshua.
Well,
Samuel.
No.
David.
David comes along. He's known as the what? King. And this is where you get to kingdom and about authority, and as David's lineage is that's going to sit on the kingdom over here. Okay? On the throne.
Right.
Now, after David comes along, these are Old Testament. So this has to do with God ministering to Israel through those books. So what happens in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Christ.
Still Old Testament.
How do you know that?
Because it says it, the law and the prophets are given by.
Well,
okay.
Can't be New Testament.
Hold your finger there for a second and go to Romans chapter 15. But everybody says, but it changed. Something's changed. These are Genesis, Malachi, but we know that in times past, God made that distinction. God did. And I'm like, I never knew that. Ever since I was this big, I was told I was a child of God. You may have been told that same way too. But nobody showed me about the uncircumcision and circumcision in the Bible. So that's Genesis through Malachi. God made a distinction, and it was through the nation Israel primary that he used them to show that God was in with them. And in times past, where did I tell you to go?
Romans
chapter 15. What's 15:8 say? Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the what?
Promises.
Now, who is Jesus Christ?
Minister of the circumcision.
Minister of circumcision. You have the Lord Jesus Christ right here. Okay? He is, what did Paul say he was?
Minister.
So, when he came to his own. What does that mean to you?
To his own people, the Jewish people, Hebrew.
You with me? Many people say he came for you. Not according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He says, I am sent
to the house of Israel.
And when he commissioned the 12, they said, go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go not in the way of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ was here, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he was still to the circumcision. Mm-hmm. And I know what people say out there. Well, you know, once you're saved, you become circumcision, so you become a Jew. You know what they do?
Grafted in.
Jew is the religion, people.
Right.
Anybody can become a Jew. But just anybody can't become a Hebrew. You have to be born a Hebrew. That's why the people of Israelites were the chosen people.
Right.
It was a race of people that God chose out of all of them. That's who he was dealing with. And it says, you're in Romans 15, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep your finger there too. Go back over here to Romans chapter 11. But Romans chapter 11, but look, before we go there, go back to Ephesians chapter 2. We know that God, Jesus Christ, was a minister to who? The circumcision. We know, or you should know, the fact that in times past, God dealt the circumcision up here, and he looked at the uncircumcision as down here. He called us dogs. And if you don't believe, remind me to go to Matthew chapter 15 somebody.
I just read about the lady.
Okay, yeah. And if that don't wake you up, we'll go there for a second. Come on, we got time. We got between now and the rapture. Look, Matthew chapter 15. If this don't blow your mind, then, you know, maybe some other things will. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievous vexed with a devil. Now here's a Canaanite woman. What do you know about Canaanites?
She's a Gentile.
Gentile.
Okay. She's crying out and saying, son of David. So she knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Mm-hmm. My daughter's grievous vexed with the devil. But he answered and said this. Mm-hmm. Is that what your Bible says?
No.
He answered her not a word. I'm thinking, whoa. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ, God's son in the flesh, manifested himself to the nation Israel, healing people, talking about salvation, get right. He carried the same message John the Baptist did, repent and be baptized for remission of sins to the nation Israel. He's working through that nation, and he did not speak to her, not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cry after us. So not only is she crying after the Lord Jesus Christ, who's she crying after?
The disciples.
But he answered and said, he's still not talking to her. He's talking to his disciples. And what was their commission back there in chapter 10?
Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
See, they already had a commission. Then he says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's Romans 15:8 that you just read. That Jesus Christ was made a minister. Was a minister. Not made. Was a minister. But look.
He was talking to the disciples when he said that.
That's what I was just saying. Oh. He wasn't talking to the woman.
Right.
He still hasn't acknowledged her. Mm-hmm. Then she cried and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26. But he answered and said. He finally turns to the lady. And he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. And you're like, he just didn't do that. Oh, Jesus got a sense of humor. He just called the woman dog. God, you know, they was name calling back there. You ever gotten a name calling contest? I know we have. You're human. I have too. And you throw something out, guess what they're going to do? They're going to throw something out. Israel looked at the Gentile as dogs. Do you know when God gave them a dietary law and said that for them not to eat swine and eat catfish and eat a shrimp, that he was lining them up to show them that they were unclean? Right. Who else was unclean to them?
Gentiles.
He's telling them, hey, they're swine. Them verses where he says, not cast the pearls amongst the swine. You know what that is? Not to take, we went through all this. Not to take the message, the truth, and cast it to a bunch of pigs, hogs, Gentiles.
Dogs.
That's hard, isn't it? Oh, I know what you're thinking. Jesus would never look at you and say that to you. You know, we've been taught that. Come on, you have. But he says, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She acknowledged what God was doing through Jesus Christ in times past. So even a book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's times past. She knew her position. Mm-hmm. And a Gentile, see, some of us forget, a Gentile could be saved in times past. Mm-hmm. They could go to, Israel was supposed to be a light on a hill in a dark world. Right. Like down there in Goshen. Remember down there? When they was down there, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Remember singing that song when you was, and you got a little, probably got a little ribbon for doing it. Got a check mark in your Bible book and all that. I was there. That light in Goshen when they came out of Egypt was a sign to the world to say they have the light. But we know through Israel's obeying the authority of God, they did everything he said, right? No. They became just as dark as anybody else. So that's why when the Lord Jesus Christ come, only a handful knew who he was. Only a handful was looking for him. And he was the light in this dark world. So Israel was to be the light. And that woman, that Gentile woman, knew her position in times past. And it says, then Jesus answered and said, oh, unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. But it unto thee even as thou wilt. And the daughter was made whole after 14 doctor's visits and 16... Caribbean cruises. Made whole what?
From that very hour.
That's the God I serve, people. That's the God I serve. Back in Ephesians chapter. Hold Romans 11. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2. There's a lot to do with this times past because look at verse 12. Verse 12. That at that time, now what time is that? Times past. The circumcision started was around Genesis 17 on. But at that time, times past, ye. Now Paul's talking to Ephesians, which was a bunch of Gentiles that got saved. He said, ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me ask you something. Is that advantage or disadvantage?
Disadvantage.
But you're a child of God. This hadn't applied to you.
It did if you were living in time.
In times past it did. We was down here, people. You was never up there as a Gentile unless you believe the God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as your God, and you paid alms and you blessed Israel. See? I bless those who bless you and I curse you. That's the Abrahamic covenant. The Palestinian covenant was about land over here. So he, in times past, that was a disadvantage. But who had the advantage?
Nation Israel.
How do you know that?
Bible tells you.
Hold your finger there and go to Romans chapter 9. See, these are very, very important things that we should continue to remember in our mind, that we wasn't a chosen people back over there. You wasn't a covenant chosen people. You know what covenant theology has you believe in that and have you placed in that, don't they? Boy. Romans chapter 9. I'll read Romans chapter 3 while you're going to Romans chapter 9. Verse 1 says, what advantage hath the Jew? This is what Romans 3 says. Or what profit is there in the circumcision?
Much
every way. Chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. They had God's words. They presented God. That's a big, to me, that's advantage. Romans 9 says, verse 4, who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of law and the service of God and promises? Who are the fathers, of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ what?
Came,
who is over all, God bless forever. Now, what was the reason Christ came? What did you read about in Romans 15? Confirming the promises of the
fathers.
That's why he came.
To the Jews.
And who had the advantage? Go back to Ephesians chapter 15.
Chapter 2.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah. Chapter 2. There was a separation that we talked about between circumcision and uncircumcision. There was a distinction between Jew and Gentile. There was an advantage between being a part of Israel and a disadvantage being a nation. But what does it say? But now. We know that in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ came first with John the Baptist, wasn't it?
Right.
I heard a guy talking on radio a while ago. He's talking about John the Baptist was big to do. You know, he was a man sent from God. I'm saying amen. He was a man sent directly from God the Father. You and I are not sent directly from God the Father. Well, you and I, once we understand who we are in Christ, we have a desire to get the message out, the truth. John the Baptist is right here. He's a man sent from God. What did they do to him? They rejected the message. The Lord Jesus Christ picked that same message right up. He preached, repent, be baptized for remission of sins, and you receive the Holy Ghost. A lot of people don't understand that, but he did. Then you have the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to his own, and what did he do? They said, we have no king but Caesar. That's where we're at in Matthew chapter 27, by the way. We're just hours away from him being crucified. And he dies and was buried and he rose again, right? Mm-hmm. What did he do to the 12 that we just read a little while ago, Matthew chapter 10? He gives them a commission. By the way, Judas was in that commission. So he dies and buried, rose again. He comes back right here at Pentecost. There's 1 year in your Bible. Where did I say go? Go to Romans chapter. Hold your finger and go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse 2 says, God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. So, we know God has not cast away Israel, right?
Right.
Verse 11 over here. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Now, have you ever stumbled and not fall? probably did that several times this winter time, didn't you? Where did Israel, now God through Paul is talking about Israel here. Romans chapter 9, 10, 11 is a dispensational view of what God is doing with Israel outside of the body of Christ. Paul is telling Israel, this is, God hasn't forgot about you. You are God's chosen people. But this is what he's doing. Had they stumbled that they should fall. Now where in the world, in your book, of God's book, did Israel stumble? He did, didn't he? Remember when God said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Mm-hmm. He says, you can blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be what? Forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Over here. Okay? This is the tribulation period, if you want to say that, or Jacob's trouble. Okay? So he's telling them, it will not be forgiven you. What world did they know?
The world they lived in, the kingdom.
It will not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. Mm-hmm. You with me? Not the world we're in right now. They stumbled at the cross. God forgave them. God answered that prayer, people. He said, Father, forgive them. And he did forgive them. He gives them 1 year. In Acts chapter 1 through 7 is 1 year in your Bible. I know it seems like eternity. 1 year. And he tells them, this is where, okay, let me back up a minute. I'm going by memory here, okay? In Daniel chapter 2, there's a kingdom prophesied. Deuteronomy talks about in the days of heaven which on earth. They're to pray to heaven to come to earth. Do you pray that today? Or do you pray to go to heaven? Kingdom prophesied. Kingdom is what happens today. I mean, in time. But kingdom is? Thank you. Kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ preached. That's what the 12 preached. It's at hand. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He died, the Lord Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. He comes back to them on Pentecost. He stays with them for 40 days. They have a Bible seminar for 40 days with the Lord Jesus Christ. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. They start to realize what he talked about. So in Acts chapter 3, the kingdom is offered. It wasn't offered over here. It was at hand. Peter talks about repent, be baptized for remission of sins. He gets them saved. Then he talks about the times of refreshing shall come when the Lord Jesus Christ. Go there for a second. Acts chapter 2. Everybody wants to go to Acts chapter 2 to get their gospel, don't they? I'd be willing to say that 90% of your churches out there and religion will somehow, some way base their facts in Acts chapter 2. Is it biblical? Mm-hmm. Is it scriptural? Mm-hmm. You better believe it, but is it dispensational? Mm-hmm. You have to study your Bible dispensationally to get God's profit out of his word for you and I. You and I can spiritualize that we're a part of this, and you with spiritual eyes, and guess what you're going to start doing? You're going to start telling what? Spiritual lies to make yourself a part of this. You're lying to yourself. Your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, if you trust Him, is living inside of you. And that Spirit will not work on the basis of ignorance. You think it does. And you can force it. I think it's what God's trying to tell me to do. And he's just like, dear child. You know, we should thank God that he's not violating our free will. That's one thing he never does. He didn't violate Adam's free will. He gave a choice. And I believe today, guys, that God's not showing himself physical. He's shown himself invisible by the creation of the world. We have his book to tell us what to do. And since he's not out there visually telling us what to do like an officer at a traffic light, we just say, so what? I just believe whatever I believe. He says, okay. That's your choice. That's sad, isn't it? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto who? God. A workman. You don't want to stand in front of God ashamed. I've stood in front of parents and officers and judges and, bosses ashamed. That's not a good feeling, guys. And I'm an adult. Where does that go? Acts chapter 2. Where does he say, Peter, he pricks their heart? Let me turn there. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2,
37.
Verse 37. Now, listen to this. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. What did they hear? They just heard a message. There's 15 nations there. They're all Jewish. They're at Pentecost. You ain't going to find a Gentile there unless he's out there selling stuff to them, making a profit out of it. And he says about the Lord Jesus Christ and concerning David and the kingdom and all this stuff. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you with wicked hands is crucified. And they're like, and when they heard this, that they it was pricked in their heart, he said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do to be saved? Is that what it says?
It does not.
But people says that's what it says. This is what you got to be saved. What shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That is no difference in what John the Baptist preached. That is no different than Lord Jesus Christ. That is a kingdom gospel that got you into a kingdom and got you identified with a kingdom of priests. People forgets about this. When they go in that part of a doctrine for them, and they think they're getting saved, they're being ceremonially cleansed for a kingdom of priests. Now, how you doing with that? Where's your long roads, Father? You don't getting that? They don't see that, but it's true. But let me ask you this. So, you may think that's your gospel. What does Acts chapter 3 say? Acts chapter 3, Peter's there amongst the nations. Now, when he's there in Acts chapter 2, there's a lot of individuals heard that and got into that program. You with me? Here comes Acts chapter 3. He's talking to the nation here. He says, verse 18, chapter 3, verse 18. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. So the death, burial, and resurrection, you can find that in the Old Testament. You know that. That's not mystery. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now wait a minute now. He's telling them to repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. When are their sins going to be blotted out? Read the verse again. What does it say? When's that going to be?
Jesus Christ comes back.
Over here. They're not going to get their sins blotted out until Jesus Christ comes back over here. Yeah. I looked at a lady up there in Chicago, Illinois. They're from Haiti. And I'm looking at her, and she was all about Acts 2:38. I said, let me show you this. Verse 20. And he shall send Jesus Christ which before was preached unto you. When does he send Jesus Christ back? The second coming. I said, if you believe this book's for you and to you, you're still in your sins. Your sins ain't been blotted out. And she just like started melting. Like, what? You know, because you want your sins blotted out, don't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you want to be wiped clean and not worry about nothing? I said, don't worry about it. I said, there's good news. Christ died for your sins, did he not?
Amen.
And according to Romans chapter 5, verse 12, he says, now you have the atonement. So that's where I'm getting at this. And that program there, they don't get their eternal glory till they get over here. Mm-hmm. Now, do you want to be a part of that?
No.
Many of us was, wasn't we? You see that, though? And that when he sends Jesus Christ back, he hasn't done it yet. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. Had they stumbled that they should fall? Now, we just acknowledged they stumbled at the cross, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
That's where they stumbled with the Lord Jesus Christ, the nation of Israel. They stumbled. They didn't acknowledge who he was. They stumble. God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to what?
Jealousy.
But rather through their what?
Fall.
Israel today, according to that passage right there, has fallen. That might be strange to some ears, but it's truth. They're down here amongst the nations. What did God tell them in Deuteronomy? You're not to be reckoned with the nations.
Not to be numbered, right?
So they're down here. But in Acts chapter 9, something happens. We know it's Apostle Paul. But look, he talks about, for I speak, verse 13. Romans 11, 13. For I speak to you Gentiles as much as I am apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to immolation them which are my flesh, I might save some of them. That's Romans through Philemon, where you at right there. God is no longer... You ever wonder why in the Corinthians the Gentiles are speaking in tongues? And they're laying on hands? And they're prophesying? The Gentiles are. God reversed that. That's very, very important to know, because he's showing Israel God's not with you no more. He turned and went to the Gentiles. So what does Israel do? They fall. This is Paul, by the way. Paul is known as the Apostle Paul, but he's also known as this grace is given to the grace giver. People totally ignore that. And even in a dispensation of grace, the body of Christ is here. And it's talking about a mystery. Even in here, people will follow Moses. People will today will have you saved by the cross. You with me? They'll say, hey, you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, you have to go back over here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and live like Jesus lived. But you have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
Yep.
How well did they do? Not too good. I would live most miserable. That's why today, go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, that there was a spiritual wall between Jew and Gentile. And and it was called the law. And that circumcision fortified that law. You with me? Gentiles didn't have the law like the Jews did. But I want to share this with you. God puts a law in everybody's heart, a conscience. That you can know who God the Creator is. And when you start rejecting that, it builds a callus over here. But everybody don't know of Jesus Christ. And that's what's very, very important, that Paul, in this program right here, it's all about Jesus Christ, guys. It's about him being in us and through us. It's about us being in Him. It ain't about us. It ain't about being a Jew. It ain't about being a Gentile. It's about being a member of the body of Christ, which God... Well, look at this. Verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us. There goes your legal wall. Having abolished in His flesh enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace. You know any law and commandments that was contrary to you? Mm-hmm. You know any law and commandments that forbid you to do anything? What does it say He did? He abolished them. That's good news, guys. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy. There goes the physical wall. Today, in the body of Christ, there is no distinctions. You read that in Paul, ain't you? That there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile? If there's no distinction, what benefit would it be if you want to become a part of this program up here? When God's not doing it. It won't not work. Then He talks about, look at this over here in Ephesians. You're in Ephesians, go to chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, verse 3 says, Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath. Who hath. Now, wait a minute. Is that something you're waiting to do?
No.
He's given it to you right up front. When did He ever give... According to times past book, give Israel anything up front. But in their heart, they should have known it was given to them. By faith, they should have done a lot of things. But they went around and created their own righteousness. And what they did, became fornicating with other gods. And they had fallen over here. They became apostated. You and I can become apostated. Even though you're saved today, you can still be apostated in your mind. But look. But hath blessed us with how many spiritual blessings? In heavenly places where? We have it all in heavenly places. Not on this earth. According to He hath chosen us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us in adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to His good pleasure. Now wait a minute. Predestinated. I'm sure many of you heard that before, ain't you?
That's a definition right there.
Okay. Before the foundations of the world, God predestinated some. Did He predestinate you being here today?
No.
Because I know a young lady right now. She said she'd much rather be in bed right now because she worked all night. She could have chose, right? I could have chose to stay in bed this morning because I had a horrible night. He predestinated before the world began a body. And how do you get in that body? You choose to get in that body. Mm-hmm. He didn't take you because you're good and take you and place you in a body. He did it. That's what He predestinated. And when this is all said and done, this is Romans through Philemon, God catches us out of here. Lord Jesus Christ is known as the catching away. We talked about the rapture. Many of you may not believe that, but it's true. That is my hope. I am saved from the wrath to come. And when He takes us out of here, at the end of Romans through Philemon, God goes back dealing with the nation Israel. There's a circumcision and an uncircumcision. That's the book of Hebrews. Through Revelation. They have a sin debt to be paid for. And God don't resurrect all of us and puts us in here and make us go through that tribulation. He don't resurrect all these old time saints and bring them over here and make them go through that resurrection. There is a group of Israelites there that 144,000 people, Jews, 18-year-old virgins, male, that never been defiled, they preach a kingdom message right here about this kingdom, and they preach it against the Antichrist. And there are going to be Israelites believe that, and they run to the wilderness because the Antichrist is going to kill every one of them. That's what a picture of Matthew that we're looking at. When the nation Israel says, crucify him. And the Gentiles are there, and the Romans are there, and everybody's there. That's the Adam's sin nature. And they want to take God and just crush him and kill him. That's what they do here. And that nation Israel is just a little flock, just a little bitty remnant. They became all of Israel. Right here. That's all Israel's left.
Just a remnant.
Just a remnant. Then Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and I'm sorry, you're not coming back with him riding with Abraham on a white horse. Ezekiel talks about the valley of dry bones. Them bones, them bones. Ankle bones connect to... Come on, talk with me. Yeah, the thigh bone, thigh bones up here.
But anyway,
yeah, you know, yeah. So there, he puts these bones together in Ezekiel, and he puts flesh on them, and the Bible says they become the whole army of Israel. Of Israel. That's it. He don't need the body of Christ because you're taking positions in the heavenly places. We're going to start the book of Ephesians after we finish Matthew. As it's going to blow your mind. Because, honestly, because it's advanced mystery truth that God, what God is doing with the body of Christ in ages to come. Wonderful stuff. And then you see in, where I'm at, Ephesians, chapter 7, excuse me, Ephesians 2, 7, that in ages to come, that's right here. You got but now, time's past. But now and ages to come. That's God's threefold division in his word. And I want to share something, one more thing with you. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 1 says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given me to what?
You.
The dispensation of grace of God was given to this man right here from the glorified, risen Lord and Savior. He did not learn it from Matthew, Mark when he walked this earth. Now, he probably heard of it because he was a Pharisee and he had threatening letters. Anybody who believed in Jesus Christ, he'd take them in. But the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus struck down Paul and said, I'm going to make you you're a chosen vessel. You're going to go to the Gentiles and Israel and the kings. It was reversed. Kings and Israel. And he got all his information right there. And he progressively learned about some things. That's why we talk about salvation today. The first initial part of salvation is that you trust Christ, died for your sins, and buried and rose again. That's the main thing. You're eternally saved. The second is salvation. Work out your salvation with much fear and trembling. That's your daily walk, your separation from this evil world. That's going to be until the day you die. Then we talk about the ultimate salvation is the catching away. And once we're out of here, we're seated up here in heavenly places. The Lord Jesus Christ comes down. He cleanses the heavens. He comes down and comes right here. After all them bad apples has fallen out of the sky. You ever shook an apple tree to get that apple? You want that one way up there, and you shake that apple tree, what falls down? That's what God does to the universe. He shakes the universe, and all the angelic beings that followed Lucifer, that's still up there, by the way, working in governments and principalities and power, they fall right here, and this is their final destiny. Then the Lord Jesus Christ has 1,000 years of peace. He sits on the throne of David.
King of kings.
King of kings, Lord of lords, every knee bow. And then after that, you got the great white throne of judgment. That's where everybody that's lost in times past, but now and all this stuff, that refused to hear the gospel of God, the good news, they get judged out here. And they just don't get judged out of any old book. They get judged out of the book. He says, when he opened up the books, let me ask you something. What time period do you live in? But now. What books are those? Okay. Would he judge you out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Would that be a just God? He judges you out of that. And then the times, fullness of times come into play when it's all said and done. And he lets Satan loose for a season. You know that. Who does he deceive?
Gentile people.
He don't deceive the nation. He deceives the nations. That for 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting on his throne. And the Gentiles, everybody has to come up here once a week to church. And the moms and dads is dragging little Eddie with them for 1,000 years to church. And little Eddie's kicking and screaming. They said, no, you better come, because they look down here and see what happens to the people that don't. Mm-hmm. There's judgment there. And they look down and they're like, oh, it scares them, right? Oh, I'm going to church. I'm going to be on my best behavior. 1,000 years. Then Satan's loose. He deceives the nation. What? Guess what little Eddie does that really wasn't saved? He jumps following Satan. You don't know people like that today. You know what I'm talking about? People today is just rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. And don't get discouraged, guys, because we do get, you know, we get personal with these guys like, man, you know, my heart pours out to you. Just give them the word. Let God give the increase. One more thing. You got your Bible? Grab Acts chapter 9, or the book of Acts, in your left hand. And Romans through Philemon in your right hand. You fold them over like that inside each other.
Acts what?
Get Acts chapter, just get the chapter of Acts, the whole book of Acts. And Acts chapter, Romans through Philemon. I'm just going to show you this because I had a draw on the board today, but I'm going to show you it's in your Bible. Okay? You see that right there?
Yeah.
What does that look like? If I hold it together. God's got a plan of redemption for us. It's right there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you find it in Romans 2 Philemon. Mm-hmm. And this is but now. I usually fold over Acts chapter 9 and leave the other part to times past. But here's times past to your left. You with me? Here's but now. And here's ages to come.
Amen.
Father, we do thank you for so much in our life. We thank you for the things you've given us freely. And Lord, as we talked about your program of times past, but now and ages come, we hope that we can just simply rest in that. And I know, Lord, it's basic to us, but it's essential to our growth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.